Hi, it's really great to have you with us. I'm Rob Porter. My wife Heather and I have the amazing privilege of being the senior pastors at Kingdom Culture Church in Burpengary, Queensland. We have an incredible preaching team, and I hope that this message will encourage and bless you as you listen.
The Lord talks about all the way through the Bible about doing a new thing. And that word can be fresh or something that is looked at in a new way, a different way. And what we're wanting to do in this 4 weeks is just to simply make room for the Holy Spirit. Our vision focus this year is room makers. And I was talking, I gave a prophetic word to John O'Bennett tonight. I just really felt like in the Holy Spirit that God was going to multiply the drinking buddies out throughout the church. Because when John and I start praying for each other, we just get the laughter rising up in us and we begin to drink. And the thing is that sometimes we go, oh, is that being manufactured? It's not about being manufactured. It's actually about, there's a scripture that talks about speak to the well, speak to the river of life in you. Spring up, O well, within my soul. Spring up, O well, make me whole. And, you know, we used to sing songs all around that. But there is a truth that we need to be a church that is waiting and receiving and stepping into the things of the Holy Spirit. You see, I want our children, I want Zoe to be raised in an atmosphere where she is used to seeing people overwhelmed by the Holy Spirit. She is used to seeing people laughing in the Holy Ghost, used to seeing miracles, used to seeing people speaking in tongues and seeing demons cast out and not being frightened by those things. Because the truth is God wants us to be that church, Kingdom Culture Church. There is a mandate upon this church, and we need not be frightened of it or ashamed of it, that we want to be a people of the Holy Ghost, a people of the Holy Spirit. You know, it is one thing to be saved, and we want that. We love that we're saved and born again, and our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, but there is a work to be done on the earth. And this is what this series is about, is that what is the work of the Holy Spirit? We think we know it, but actually it's good for us to look at it again and again and remind ourselves that he is not just, I wasn't just baptized in the Spirit back in November 1974. It wasn't just that. Baptism in the Spirit is a continuing to be filled, a continuing to be filled, a continuing to receive, a continuing to move in the Holy Spirit. You see, because it is our choice. It is our choice. If you don't remember, one more thing about what I've got to say, and I've got quite a bit to say, but that's not lengthwise, that's just more the weight of what God wants to say, is that we need to understand we have a choice in the matter. We have a choice. We have a choice. Turn to your neighbor and say, you have a choice tonight. You do. You have a choice tonight to receive or to sit back and spectate. You know, I know there are people across this auditorium, you know, that sometimes get hit by laughter or sometimes get hit by shaking or sometimes do all sorts of weird and wonderful things. But that hasn't happened in a while. Why is that? It's because we've got familiar with the Holy Spirit. Because we go, we will choose him when we want, and when it's not convenient, we won't choose him. When I feel like it, I will move in the Holy Spirit. When I don't feel like it, I'll switch him off. And I just want to, I feel like the Holy Spirit is really challenging us. He is a person. He is not a thing or a feeling. He's not in your mind. He's not a thing that we've manufactured. He's not a wafty cloud that wafts in or a dove. And even though I'm not being just, you know, the dove came upon Jesus and I know all of that. But the truth is he is a person. He wants to be personable to you. He wants to relate to you. So that it's not a thing that we just do on a Sunday where the preacher sort of does his weird thing and they all fall over. And that is, no, that's not a person. That's an experience. The person of the Holy Spirit wants to live and dwell in you and outwork himself through you. That is the work of the Holy Spirit. It's not that we turn on, get saved, and we just coast into heaven. He actually wants us to have an effect in the world. And we're going to have a look at that tonight. So we're going to be tarrying. We're going to be waiting. We're going to be, you know, some of us are here Because it's a good time to come aside and receive. And that is the highest way, I think, is just ready to receive. And you know, if you're feeling flat or if you're feeling like, God, I need help, then he's that too to us. He comes and he lifts us and he breathes upon us and he causes us to run again. And that's a wonderful thing. And there's some here tonight that go, I don't know what the Holy Spirit is about. But of course, we've manufactured this front that goes, oh, pure Christian, and they know what they're doing. But actually, it's like, I don't know what I'm doing. The Holy Spirit's here for you too, because he actually doesn't care if you know what you're doing or not. It doesn't say, in the last days, I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh, especially those who know what they're doing. He says, I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh, not even on the holy ones, on flesh. Flesh stinks, you know, right the way through the Bible. Let's face it, flesh is sinful, flesh is nasty, flesh is naughty, flesh runs away with you. You're fleshy, I'm fleshy, we're all fleshy. So where has he promised to pour out his Spirit? Yeah. On all flesh. Job done. Yeah. You missed an amazing preach this morning from Heather. It really was a cracking preach. And I would 100% recommend you go back and listen to it. And if you weren't here, listen to it. She kicked off with this, and I thought it was really important just to reiterate this, that a lie believed as truth will affect your life as though it is truth. And what we're doing here is looking at what the person of the Holy Spirit is, not what we have as a preconceived idea. And she was telling the story about how in Friends of Our Centers, a book in 2005, and it was When Heaven Invades Earth by Bill Johnson, and I'd never heard of him, and I opened it up, and I read the first few pages, and it opens up, and it's talking about Bill Johnson going camping with his son and sons and shooting bears and catching fish and all bonding in log cabins, and I was like, pfft. Like, it's just so American and, like, come on, you know, it's sort of typical and it's all perfect. But actually, it hit a nerve because I was struggling to relate and bond with Fred. He was in his teen years. And I thought it was a book about testosterone Christianity. Yeah. You know, the problem with the modern-day church is that masculinity and bear hunting have been outlawed. We all live in the suburbs. And if we want to rediscover Jesus, we need to go and ping off a few roos and bush pigs instead of running off to the IGA every time we need meat for the Barbie and paying cash because Apple pays for girls. This book was When Heaven Invades Earth, and I put it on the shelf for about 2 years because of my prejudices and fixed beliefs and, like, what's he got to teach me? I didn't know anything about him. But you see, the Holy Spirit doesn't want to be treated like the unread pages of a book, prejudged and deemed to be irrelevant to my situation. You know, Heather's experience, she talked about that, where she ended up basically lying to the pastor that she had been baptized in the Spirit because she was frightened of it, because her experience was people who spoke in tongues, people who moved in the Holy Spirit were of the devil. And so this can affect us. But we need to read our Bible, because he says he wants the fullness of the Holy Spirit for you. It says that if the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he will quicken, make alive your mortal body, deals with sickness, things like that. Then he also says, don't you know that you're the temple of the Holy Ghost? So if the Holy Ghost dwells in you, that makes you holy, because he doesn't inhabit a pigsty, he inhabits a place that's holy. That should give us hope and joy tonight. So that actually, instead of coming down the front because, oh, Jesus, I need it, it's all going wrong, it's actually I come to the front because I've got joy. I am a holy person because the Holy Spirit dwells within me. And that's what's so incredible. So you've got two senior pastors, one who's judgmental and one who's got a history in lying. And so don't tell me that you're not a candidate for the Holy Spirit. He's going to pour it out on all and all manifestations of flesh, because we are who we are. You're a mess tonight, some of you. I don't mean that nastily. You got it all together, but you're just holding it all together. Is that true? Yeah. Just holding it all together. We need a good dosing of the Holy Spirit around here. We really, really do. You see, the church will never die spiritually if we learn to host the Holy Ghost and continue to appreciate Him. Churches die out because the breath of the Holy Spirit exits, because they put so much form, so much structure, so much anticipation and on expertise and excellence, which there's nothing wrong with being excellent, and I know you know what I'm saying, but if we would value and appreciate the Holy Spirit more than what we're trying to get done in that sense, it's so important to host and appreciate Him. That hosting and appreciating the Holy Spirit is not an occasional nod towards Pentecostalism. It's not tongues when I'm desperate and I'm falling apart. It's not responding to altar calls just out of need. That's why we're taking this 4 weeks, because we don't want to knowingly undervalue what the Holy Spirit wants to do in us and through us. We want a life that is touched occasionally by... We don't want a life that's touched occasionally by Holy Spirit encounter. We want a life that's touched, lived in by the Holy Spirit. The temple of the Holy Spirit. Temple of the Holy Ghost. Invite Him in tonight. Stop being proud. Stop being the one who's going, you know what, I'll just keep this at bay. No, the Holy Spirit wants to invade this earth. Pour out your Spirit on all flesh. You know, we teach baptism in water occasionally from the word bapto and baptizo. Bapto means to be dipped. A baptizo means to be marinated, to be soaked, to be pickled. It literally means to be pickled. God is looking for people who are willing to be pickled in the with the baptism of the Holy Spirit, to know what it is to live in the Spirit, not just visit with the Holy Spirit. I have said this before from this stage, it is not a new thing, but God, I believe tonight, is wanting to shake some strongholds over our lives. He's wanting to shake our thinking. He's wanting to say, I really meant this when you were rolling on the floor with laughter, when you were crying out to God on your knees, when the last move of the Holy Spirit came through. That was me. It wasn't a figment of your imagination. It was me drawing you to me. Because I'm the person of the Holy Spirit. I am not an experience and I'm not a feeling. I'm the Holy Ghost wanting to fill you up and enable you, bless you, and turn you away from sin. You know, when I was a kid, we didn't play these mamby-pamby video games. We played with electricity and fireworks. Now, do not try this at home, children. That's why I kept it for the evening service. At the back of our house was marshlands and cow paddocks, and we would roam these beautiful places all summer long in England. And between the bouts of fun and games, we got a bit bored, and we would end up getting the smaller kids initiated by licking things like batteries, hooking them up to the electric cow fence. What we'd do is we'd put on rubber boots, and you would... You'd have to go from paddock to paddock, so we were just roaming like wild things. And you'd put your rubber boot on the wire to hold it down. You know what electric cow fence is? Yeah. Didn't know whether it was a British thing, I'm sure it isn't. So you got, and then you'd say, come on, cross over. And then you'd, as they were halfway across, you'd watch their eyes light up. And their chance of procreating diminishing by a few percent. And of course, you only ever got told once that if you wet your nylon jacket and hold the wire, it won't hurt you. But what we were doing as children in shocking each other is not dissimilar to how we treat church. You see, we want to get a shock of the Holy Spirit, but not to be charged, an electrical charge. You see, you and I want to be able to come to a service, get wrecked, and go home. The Holy Spirit wants to be like in us a battery that's recharged and recharged and recharged and recharged. You know, what we really want to do, honestly, we want to get alongside, we want people in our lives that will jumpstart us. Yeah. So you want the luxury of leaving your lights, internal lights on in your vehicle, in your body, and you get run down and flat, and you actually want to come to church and just jump start off somebody else's charge. We need to be charged. The Holy Spirit wants to charge us tonight. How do we charge? I don't know. Like last night, Heather and I, she's been persistently asking me to get my guitar out and sing because we used to do a lot of worshiping together. So the last few weeks, we've got it out a few times. Last night, we sat and we just worshiped together for 30 minutes. Now, I'm a bit rusty in voice at times, and I don't, where I used to be able to sing in E, I now have to sing in D or whatever. But I got my guitar out, and we began to worship. And as we began to worship, we began to get charged. We began to get charged. What does it take? It takes reading of the Word. What's it take? It takes fasting. What's it take? It takes worship. What's it take? It takes communing with the Holy Spirit. It's taking time out. Look, my fear is that we will overlook and we will pretend that these things are not true, that actually experiencing the Holy Spirit takes time in the secret place. And we want to move on from that. We want to change the subject, but the Holy Spirit is not changing the narrative. He's saying, you can go and party with your mates. You can go to dinner parties, not knocking dinner parties. You can go and play games nights and all these things, and they're great. I love them. Go and play sporting events. You can eat together. You can roam from restaurant to restaurant. But if you want to get charged, if you want to receive, if you want to be a person that can move in the things of the Holy Spirit, it's going to take you picking up your figurative guitar and worshiping before the Lord and allowing the Holy Spirit to move in your life. Because otherwise, all it is a jump start. And I believe the Holy Spirit is moving us away from that so that we're actually dynamos, we're actually creating that electricity. The Holy Spirit wants us to be waiters and receivers. The early church, they waited. Jesus' instruction was to go and wait, and they waited, and the Holy Spirit fell. Our temptation is to sort of screw up everything and go, come then, Holy Spirit. But actually, he's going to move when he wants to move. But that doesn't negate our need to wait and to receive and to wait and to receive. So was Jesus a special case? My title tonight is The First Among Many. He was Jesus the healer. You know, was Jesus a bit of a shooting star and all his believers, like us, just the glittering tail that comes after him that fades? Or are we part of that shooting star? I believe we are. And I believe the scripture tells us that. You know, we know he was born a baby in a feeding trough. He was crucified. He influenced more people historically than any other man. You know, and even the one, you know, that's not how you read it in history of the world. They say, oh, no, all these other people, they influence more people. But what they forget is that even if that were true, which it isn't, that he made them. One of the delights of the enemy is to try and deplete and minimize Jesus' significance in this present age. So whether we find ourselves in the 7th century or in present-day Australia, the front line of the battle has always been staged around the premise, the argument that Jesus is no longer relevant. He has nothing to say to modern-day man because he's an olden-day myth. Because we are technically advanced and sophisticated, but one of the many, many roles the Holy Spirit plays in the present-day church is to help us to read what the Bible really says about Jesus, the Father, and the Holy Spirit. And that's really cool, because I love it when I read the Word and the Holy Spirit just highlights stuff out of it. Yeah. Anyone else experience that?
Yeah, that's right.
Amongst friends, we read it and we go, whoa!
Yeah.
And it feeds you, and there's a charge. Yeah. There's a charge. There's a charge. You're plugged in. And I can only appeal to you tonight, the Holy Spirit can only appeal to you tonight, that if you have lost your charge, if your battery's running flat, come and get a jump start tonight. but get charged. Start to charge. Start to do the things that charge. Jesus said that he had to leave this earth so the Holy Spirit could come and lead us in all truth. So was Jesus just a prototype, or was he the firstborn among many brethren that it says in Romans 8 verse 28? And we know the scripture, it says, and we know all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. And that's a point of comfort to us, isn't it? We love that verse. You know, but called according to his purpose, it kind of indicates that the things being worked together for good only really look that way if I'm prepared to see things his way. And we love to quote, all things work together for good, don't we? Yeah. Nothing wrong with it. And you know, lean into it. It's an amazing verse. Truth is, though, it's followed up with, for whom he did foreknow, he also predestinated to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Yeah. So why is this important? Because we're going to have a look at what Jesus, how Jesus was conceived, how Jesus was affected by the Holy Spirit. That is how you be the firstborn among many brethren. He's not going, oh, it's just like we're churning them out robotically. All these believers. No. He was the pattern son. Yes, he was the pattern son. And he reflected how we are to live our lives. You know, so many people are looking for that one moment of significance in their life that will define them. Write a book, be discovered. I don't know, write a song, find a niche market. What would our lives look like if we decided to follow the pattern of life that Jesus modeled? That is a life, that life is significant from the moment of conception. And I want to speak to some people here tonight because, again, and it is an easy thing to happen is we can get confused and we can go, Jesus really wasn't around, this Holy Spirit wasn't around for my conception like he was for Jesus. But I actually believe the Holy Spirit works in the background of our lives. And every day, from the day I was conceived to now, because it says in the scripture, before you were formed in your mother, in my mother's womb, he knew me. So there's this whole thing of predestination and knowledge that is woven through the Bible. We want to be like Jesus, the one that we want to emulate. And what I've discovered is that the Holy Spirit brought order and meaning and direction to the everyday life of Jesus. And that's just what he wants to do with us. Order, direction, and meaning. Why? Because the law of first mention, Heather brought this out this morning. He says that where do we find the Spirit of God? First thing, Genesis 1, verse 2, it says the Spirit of God was moving over the face of the water. That word face means the thing that was turned towards him. Tonight, it is not about being whacked by the Holy Spirit necessarily, although that can happen. And he does do that, doesn't he? We've seen it. Like he just won't move. So I know I've experienced that. Come into a room and it's circle me and circle me and circle me until it hit me too. And I fell down with laughing. But it's a turning our face towards him, because he moves upon those who turn their face towards him. So let's turn our face towards him in these coming weeks. Let's not be those who go, impress me. Or I'm not gonna step out. The life of the Christian life is stepping out in faith. It's willing to be made an idiot. It's willing to come up the front when you've been prayed for a million times and nothing's ever happened. But this one time, Jesus is gonna let rip in your life. The Holy Spirit is gonna come and shift heaven and earth for you. And so Jesus had the Holy Spirit at his conception, and we know that. Before he was conceived, the angel Gabriel met with Mary's cousin Elizabeth. She conceived, and I just think it's quite amusing that then Mary meets the Holy. Gabriel comes to her and says, and Mary says, "How will this be that I will bear the Son of God?" And he says, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you." And I think some of us here tonight are a bit like, "Well, how does this happen?" Well, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, but what he will do is conceive life in you tonight, and. What does Mary do? So Elizabeth is, they reckon, could have been around about 88 or 90 years old. And then there's Mary, who's 14. Both being overshadowed by the Holy Spirit, it says. So there's no age that you cannot get overshadowed by the Holy Spirit and something turns us around. And I imagine, you know, it says that Mary went to be with Elizabeth and she stayed with her for 3 months. I hadn't ever read that before. And she was probably there at the birth of the child. I can just imagine them, you know, the 14-year-old and the 90-year-old, and they're talking about whether to vax or not to vax. And, you know, Mary's going, what would you know? You're nearly 90. And she goes, what would I know? You're 14. You know, like, but the truth is, both of them were overshadowed by the Holy Spirit. And what came from them was greatness. People that laid down their lives, a life of giving and service. And so, again, I believe the Holy Spirit is on this thing about conception. Because some of us in here were conceived in what we consider to be bad circumstances or in bad homes or bad relationships, things that have gone wrong. But the Holy Spirit says, no, 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 I overshadowed you. I overshadowed your parents. Because we need to understand that we are valued. That the conception by the Holy Spirit, the moving of the Holy Spirit brings value to our life. We are a generation, and I put myself in as young as you, we are a generation that is looking for the next thing that will validate us. We have to understand that the Holy Spirit validates us day by day by day by day. The day you were born, the heavens rejoiced. The day you were born, the heavens rejoiced. I'll get a few more on board yet. The day you were born, the heaven rejoiced. God wasn't going, oh, here's another sinner I've got to sort out. He has every expectation of life for you. Do you have it of yourself? Because he wants to move on us tonight. He wants to move on us, no matter what it looks like. You may be in the most barren, dry situation. How can I bear a son? The Holy Spirit will come upon you. How can I bear a son? I'm 90 years old. The Holy Spirit will come upon you. And they might have had to do their part as a couple to make that happen. And I'm not saying that to be crude, but sometimes you need to do your part and walk up the front and ask for prayer. Then, so he was conceived by the Holy Spirit. Luke 3, it says, one day when the crowds were being baptized, Jesus himself was baptized. As he was praying, the heavens opened. The Holy Spirit in a bodily form descended on him like a dove. And a voice from heaven said, you are my dearly beloved son, and you bring me great joy. Next scripture we see is Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan River. He was led by the Spirit in the wilderness. The Holy Spirit leads us. That word leads or led of the Holy Spirit means to a specific destination. I believe God wants to touch some people tonight so that they understand that they're not haphazard, that they are on a journey that has a specific destination. Destiny in God, dreams fulfilled, ministries revealed, business opportunities, marriages restored, kids raised up under the leadership of the Holy Spirit. I love this beautiful flow of the Holy Spirit on Jesus. And it says, so the conception, the Holy Spirit affirms him. This is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. The Holy Spirit then leads him into the wilderness and equips him. What he's doing here tonight is equipping us as well. And then the Holy Spirit fills him with power and he comes out of the wilderness in power of the Holy Ghost. It says, Jesus returned to Galilee filled with the Holy Spirit's power. Reports about him spread quickly throughout the whole region. And what happens is he walks into the synagogue, which he says was what he did every Sunday. Take note, Jesus went to church every Sunday. Every Sunday. Every Sunday. Or Saturday, whatever the Sabbath was. But he went every week. Jesus, the pattern son, who we should copy. No pressure. And he was handed the scroll from Isaiah, and he turned to the spot that said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim the captives will be released, to proclaim the blind will see, that the oppressed will be set free, and that the time of the Lord's favour has come. And everybody's eyes was fixed upon him. You know, and this was the commissioning of Jesus. This was not an Oscar acceptance speech, where many of us are looking to be recognised. Jesus, though, went and said, I have recognition of you, my Father. I have recognition with you, and your Holy Spirit is upon me to do this. Yeah. All we have to do tonight is, as we'll get the band up, thank you, is all we have to do tonight as we is to turn our hearts, our faces towards him, and he will overshadow us. Turn our faces towards him, and the Holy Spirit will conceive something in us that will change our lives. Turn our faces towards him and say, I lay aside all of my stuff. I lay aside my dreams, my demands on you, God. There's so many people demanding on God when he's saying, come and live under the shadow of the Almighty, under the shadow of the Holy Spirit. I had a lot more to unpack and so on, and I'll probably leave it to another week. I don't want Chelsea to feel like she did it all in vain, because I know she spent a lot of time. How good is Chelsea? I actually felt, Chelsea, that the Lord was saying, I'm not going to try and find you, because the other day I was talking about someone, I was looking at them, and then I found out afterwards it wasn't them. But I've really felt like the Lord was saying, you are a creative person, but at the moment what God is doing in your life is creativity. The Holy Spirit is creating something beautiful in your life. And just as you download fonts and as you download pictures to build a picture for the graphics, to build an atmosphere, God is doing the same in your life. He's building and he's putting into you new fonts. He's putting new ways of expression. You're not in a dead end. You're actually in a place of narrowness that is opening up into a wide space. And that what God is doing will be, as it were, put up on the screen for others to read and to see. And God is doing a great thing of creativity, and it's not a dead end. The Holy Spirit is moving on your life. And he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He's upon me. And it means to be smeared, to be shiny with the Holy Spirit. Are you shiny with the Holy Spirit tonight? Are you that close to him that you get? You know, we get a bit, like Heather goes around with her little bottle, you know, and every now and then you sort of get dribbled, you know what I mean? And we get a bit like, oh, it's on my best clothes. And of course, we want to be respectful of your Gucci or your best and less. We're with you all the way. But there can be a hesitancy in us. I don't know why I was going to say get down and dirty with the Holy Spirit, but it's kind of true. Is we go, oh, it's the Holy Spirit, it's oil, and we're talking about the oil of the Holy Spirit, but please, I don't want to be splashed. You know, I've got this look to maintain. But he actually wants to kind of roll all over you and make you shiny and to give you some joy, to break you out of your mundaneness, to break you out of where you've been trapped, to break you out of the mindsets. And let's stand together, and let the band, if you come on, that'd be amazing.
Thanks so much for taking the time to listen to today's message. Our hope is that you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. If not, we'd like to invite you to begin your journey with him today. When we read scripture, we see that sin separates us from God, but that our relationship with God is restored by salvation through Jesus Christ. This happens because God gave Jesus his Son to die in our place, to deal with the sin problem, and he rose again so that we can have eternal life with him. If we believe in our hearts and confess with our mouths that Jesus is Lord, we can know salvation today. If you're ready to do that and turn from a life of sin, then pray this prayer with me. Dear Lord Jesus, I know that I am a sinner and I ask for your forgiveness. I believe you died for my sins and rose from the dead. I turn from my sins and invite you to come into my heart and life. I want to trust and follow you as my Lord and Saviour. Amen. If you've prayed this prayer for the first time today, we would love to know and reach out to you and support you. So please contact us at hello@kingdomculturechurch.com.au.